sing the thunder song.
When you hear the sound of thunder, don't you get too scared. Just grab your thunder buddy and say these magic words.
Welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. And I do emphasize buddies because the newest Thunder Buddy is here.
In the building.
In the building. Brett Dawson is here, folks. Let's welcome Brett to the Oklahoman news team and Thunder Buddies podcast. Before we get into Brett, I know we kind of teased last week that we might have a Thunder coach Billy Donovan on the podcast. That didn't quite work out this week, but we got somebody even better, Brett. And we're still working on getting Billy, so we'll keep you abreast of that. But, Brett, welcome to Oklahoma City, man.
Thank you. I'm sure everybody who's tuning in for Billy Donovan is like, whew, thank goodness I don't have to listen to that, and I can listen to the new guy at the Oklahoma.
Right, right. We actually made a transaction. We sent Billy Donovan to New Orleans, where you're coming from.
Right.
And you're going to be coaching the Thunder this year.
Yep, and I brought some oysters
okay.
with me.
Okay.
Fair trade.
Dragos?
I forget the name of the place that Acme? I like. So let's. I really like Acme pretty well.
Okay. Now I don't think Thunder fans are going to be too pleased with the deal. They don't really know if you're a good coach or not. You might be halfway decent.
I've watched a lot of basketball practices in my life.
Yeah.
So you know, yeah. Who knows?
So's Billy. Good start. Yeah. But Brett,
same initials.
Huh? Oh man, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That works out quite well. Brett, you're going to be joining us tomorrow at Media Day. It'll be your first Media Day here. But before we get into kind of some Thunder stuff, I mean, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and where you came from?
Yeah, I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky, and I went to the University of Kentucky and got my start kind of in journalism there. And I mostly covered college basketball for the most of my career. I covered Illinois at the News Gazette in Champaign. I worked at the Louisville Courier-Journal covering Kentucky. I worked for Rivals.com and Yahoo Sports for a little while. And then just the past year, really at the end of last basketball season, so the not this past, the 2014-15 season, I just decided I really wanted to give the NBA thing a try. I'd wanted to for a really long time. I'd been in touch with The Advocate in New Orleans, and they didn't have a full-time Pelicans beat writer. They never had, and I just quit my job and moved down there to work as a freelancer. It was something I really wanted to pursue, so I did that. I've been covering the Pelicans for the last year, and then I think when Anthony Slater left here, I emailed my stuff in about 15 minutes after he sent that tweet because I wanted to be here, really wanted to be in Oklahoma.
Also emailed about 15 times.
I did not stop. I was a little aggressive in pursuit of this job. I wanted to make it very clear that I wanted it. Just in case you weren't sure, I wanted to let you know that I really wanted this job.
But that was actually impressive. Sometimes you can beat down the door too much, and I think you found that right mix. And what you did in the process was really display your passion. And that's what stood out to me was how passionate you are about wanting to cover the NBA and wanting to come here to cover the NBA. Just speak to that. What is it about the NBA that you love so much? Why are you so passionate about it?
Well, basketball is sort of in your blood in Kentucky, particularly if you're not a big horse racing person. And I'm like, you know, conversant in horse racing to the extent that I know when the Derby is, and I make a bet and lose money every year. But basketball is really my thing. And even though I grew up kind of, you know, Louisville is sort of college basketball central between the triangle in North Carolina and then the Kentucky, Indiana, Louisville triangle there of sorts. That's really college basketball territory. But I was an NBA guy. You know, when I was a little kid, I liked Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, and I was cursed to be kind of a Knicks fan. And I just gravitated toward the NBA really early. To me, if you love basketball, you love the NBA. That's sort of the highest form of it. I'm one of those people who believes that if you prefer college basketball, what you really prefer is, you know, jerseys and bands. It's not the basketball. And to me, it's just the best form of basketball. The NBA, too, to me, is of all the professional sports leagues, it's the most fun. It's the one that's kind of the personalities, I think, are the biggest. It's the most enjoyable. And I just always kind of wanted to be around it. I got really lucky. I don't want to like badmouth the college basketball jobs I had. I was very fortunate to have them, but I always kind of had that in the back of my mind that that's what I wanted.
Well, you kind of glossed over it a little bit. You had a big time job at Rivals.com.
Yeah, and before that, I had a good job at the Courier-Journal. It's one of the Courier-Journal fancies itself the paper of college basketball in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but my point about Rivals is you were making good money there, like probably really good money. I don't know the exact figure, but from what
it was a raise told, from newspapers, yeah.
You had a really good paying job there, and you quit that job to go cover the Pelicans part-time.
Yep.
So not only did you quit your full-time job, to go to a part-time job, yep. but you also went from Kentucky, University of Kentucky basketball
yes.
to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, it's a little different because the Saints are the Kentucky basketball, obviously. And Eric, you know this. The, mm-hmm. the Saints are they're the Kentucky basketball of Louisiana. Saints fans would find it insulting to be compared to Kentucky basketball. Probably they would consider it even bigger. But yeah, you know, it was a place where there was an opening, you know, where I knew I had a chance as a freelancer to get on there. And I knew it wasn't going to be a full time. I knew it wasn't going to travel all the time. But I knew Anthony Davis a little. I had a little bit of a relationship with him. They put up some walls at Kentucky. It's hard to build close relationships, but it was somebody I at least knew. I thought there would be some degree of comfort, and that proved to be true. I think it helped me. But yeah, I really wanted to do it. And I thought I was at this point where I was sort of free of a contract at Rivals. I could come back if I wanted, or I could opt out. And I just thought if I keep opting back into this deal, I don't know if I'm ever going to chase the NBA. And what I told people was, I don't know if covering the NBA will make me happy in my life, but I know I won't be happy if I never tried it, if I never took a swing at it. So yeah, I mean, I sold my house. I took some money that I had saved. And I moved down to a job where, you know, I didn't have any benefits. I didn't have a guarantee of, you know, in the summers, it was really hard to kind of just make ends meet because I wasn't writing as many stories and I was being paid by the story. But I just really wanted to make it happen. You know, my hope, you know, when you set out to do it, like the dream scenario is I'll do this for a year and then I'll find something really good full time somewhere else. Or maybe they'll create a full time job because they'll, you know, my work will be good enough that they'll see the need for it or whatever. And it was hard to. That was the dream scenario. It was hard to imagine something this good opening and getting it after a year. That was almost beyond the wildest dreams, but that was what I was hoping to do.
Well, it certainly worked out for you so far, at least. I mean, you got this job, and I just wanted to drive home that point that's how passionate you are and were and are about covering the NBA, that you would quit your job, your full-time job, to go work part-time just to cover the NBA, and we're certainly glad to have you.
Well, glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And like I was just thinking about, you know, just being from Louisiana and how much me personally being from Louisiana, I mean, and how much sports mean down there and talking to my parents and about the Pelicans and how they've seen that team grow. I mean, what was it like for you covering that team? Because I know that they had like two really contrasting seasons. Mm-hmm. For instance, 2 years ago, they actually had the Anthony Davis buzzer beater here that beat the Thunder, and they ended up edging the Thunder out for that last playoff spot because the Thunder had a ton of injuries that year. But then last year, they took a real step back, Anthony Davis having a bunch of injuries, and then Alvin Gentry in his first year. What was that like for you in that time covering the team?
Yeah, it was interesting because I came in right after that year, right after they lost in the playoffs to Golden State when they mm-hmm. got swept, the year that Anthony Davis had made the game winner. And that was kind of right around that time. It's funny, that's when I was talking to the Advocate about coming down there to work, and they were still trying to talk about creating a full-time job. The night that Anthony Davis made that shot, I emailed the Sports Center, and I said, that's why you need a beat writer. That's why you need a guy covering the Pelicans, because you've got this historically great player who's doing stuff like that. You guys got to be covering him better. I was aggressive with them, too. I sent a lot of emails to those guys. But, you know, I came in at a time when everything was on the uptick, and the Saints were, you know, the Saints weren't good last year, and they were off to a rough start. And I think the city was really poised to sort of, you know, fall in love with the Pelicans in a way I don't think they had, at least since the Chris Paul Hornets, the team that spent some time here. You know, I think everybody was anticipating. There were people saying, you know, well, when the Saints lost another game, the Saints were 0-4, whatever they were. Well, the Pelicans are coming. This is going to be an exciting year for the Pelicans. Let's get basketball season started. And in New Orleans, that's an insane thought to have.
Yeah.
That was the kind of year it was. There was just such an expectation that they were going to take a step forward, and whether or not they weren't going to be a title contender, but could they get up to that 4-5 range? I think everybody thought they had a chance because you had what people consider to be a generational player, and they liked the pieces they had around them, and the expectation was that Alvin Gentry was going to unlock some things offensively, and they were going to be a lot better. And then they started 1-11. They had a bunch of guys out. They missed, I wrote it so many times I should know the number off the top of my head, but I think it's 351 games. Combined to injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And they essentially, I mean, you guys know this, at 1-11 in the Western Conference, you're basically out of the playoffs. Your season is essentially over. It's going to be really hard, you know, and they just never did get everybody back. They kept saying, as players will do in those situations, like, oh, it's a long season, we've got time, but you don't have time at 1-11. You got to get something turned around right away, and they just never did. It was just a massively disappointing season, and so they'll go into a season this year that's the exact opposite. There will be no expectation, and I think people think, you know, it won't go well.
Brett, anytime you start a new job, there's obviously a ton of things to learn. There's a ton of things to adjust to, get acclimated with, the city, your surroundings, your new job, all kinds of things. But with this particular beat, this particular team, What are you most looking forward to finding out, to learning, to just being surrounded by?
Yeah, well, I'm interested. I mean, obviously from watching them from a distance, you know, I'm interested to get in there and kind of interact some with Steven Adams and Enes Kanter and those guys. I mean, I think that'll be fun.
Fun guys.
Yeah, I look forward to that part of it. I'm interested in the challenge of covering Russell Westbrook. I mean, I don't think that's like breaking news to say that that's a thing that I think everybody who – I mean, Pete, it was one of the first things people tweeted at me. Somebody tweeted at me, congratulations, Russell already hates you.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so – I've got, you know, I'm interested in that side of it. And then I'm fascinated by the same thing that everybody's fascinated by, which is, you know, you've kind of had Batman and Robin, or maybe it's more fair to say Batman and Superman through this whole right. process, not to compare it to like a terrible summer movie. But now one guy's gone and you're left with the other guy. And what does that mean just in terms of who he is in the community, who he is to this team, who he is in the NBA landscape? I think Russ is such a fascinating, he's one of the most intriguing, I think, personalities in the NBA going into this season by far.
For the people who aren't familiar with your work, I know your mom's probably going to be listening to us. We had the pleasure of meeting her.
My mom doesn't know what a podcast is.
Well, so we gotta educate her. Yeah, she's got to become a Thunder Buddy subscriber.
A radio she can figure out.
Okay, we're gonna get on that after this podcast. We're going to tell Mama Dawson,
yep.
You got to become a Thunder Buddies listener.
All right, we'll do that.
So now I forgot my question. Oh, for the people who haven't followed you or aren't familiar with your work, just kind of describe sort of how you like to work mm-hmm. and what you think you're good at, what you would strive to bring on this beat.
Right. Well, I think one thing I like to do, I want to listen all the time. I want to be listening to what people say, and I want to think about what can I do with what they've said? How can we explore a little further what they're talking about? And so that might be as simple as a follow-up question, or it might be kind of veering off the beaten path to find a story. One of my favorite examples this year covering the Pelicans, probably the story I wrote that got the most attention because they weren't a very good team, was, you know, one night after I think Anthony Davis had gotten hurt again or somebody had gotten hurt again, and Alvin Gentry said, you know, we're going to get a voodoo doctor in here to fix whatever's wrong with us. And it was kind of an offhanded joke thing he did, but I thought, you know, I'm in the only city in America where I can walk down the street and find one of these guys, so let's go do that tomorrow. And so I went and found some voodoo practitioners and said, is this a thing you could fix? Why is it happening? What caused this? And they had real opinions. They were sports fans, and they thought it was because of this. It was the ownership thing. It was the, you know, the Tom Benson lawsuit and all the unrest there was causing things, and they just needed a cleansing, and they could do it. And so I wrote it, I think, with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but they were taking it seriously, and so I was taking it seriously, and that's a story that's a little different, and that's the kind of story I want to find, is something maybe you haven't seen and that you won't get out of every press conference. So that's my favorite kind of story to tell. I want to find something that we can go a little deeper on. And, you know, people will tell you what their stories are. You just got to ask the right questions, and you got to listen to what they say.
Did you ask the voodoo doctors if there was possibly a curse on the team because they fired Monty Williams?
I did not. I did not ask that question. That's a legitimate question. I did find out about sports jinxes, though, and that voodoo can break them, apparently, because I was told that one of the people I interviewed was actually part of a group that broke the Madden curse when Drew Brees was on the cover. He did not get hurt the year that he was on the Madden cover. So, you know, it works, apparently.
Eric, you ever seen a voodoo doctor?
I can't say I have. I've seen voodoo shops and dolls, many, but I've never actually seen a voodoo doctor. No, sorry.
Would you go see one?
If I had something really troubling me, you know what? I might give it a shot.
Maybe if you had somebody you wanted to deal with, you know, take care of.
Yeah, possibly. Did you have any interaction with Monty Williams when you were in New Orleans?
No, he was never, you know, he didn't even, I don't think he ever came to New Orleans because I think by the time they visited, I don't think he was with the team anymore. So mm-hmm. I don't think he ever came back. And I don't know that he would have talked, you know, if he did, if he had been with the Thunder and come back to New Orleans. I don't know how I would have treated that. What I did have was a lot of interaction with players who had, you know, been very close to him. Ryan Anderson in particular, mm-hmm. who, you know, Ryan, for people who don't know, went through a really difficult time in New Orleans. His girlfriend committed suicide. It was a, you know, kind of the defining moment, the defining moment of his life. And Monty was a guy who, you know, that he basically moved in with Monty and his wife. It was, he was very close to the family. And so for him, it was very difficult. And he was pretty open about it. All those guys were open about talking about how much they loved Monty and what he meant to them. For some of them, Anthony Davis took it pretty hard in to the extent that he really didn't want to talk about it. He didn't really want to discuss it. I can't remember if he talked in Oklahoma City because they came. The weird coincidence of that was that, you know, the Pelicans were the first team to come in here after that happened. And so they were right here, and they went to the house, and they went to see Monty. And I think it was hard for Anthony to talk about, and he didn't really want to do it. In fact, one night – either the first night or shortly after, they sent the PR guys in ahead to say, Anthony's just not going to talk about this. He can't talk about it. And so he never really opened up about it. But several of the guys did, nobody to the extent that Ryan Anderson did, because nobody had that same relationship.
Yeah, Ryan was one of the guys who Anthony Slater ended up writing a story mm-hmm. about, and how Ryan's interaction with Monty and how much Monty meant to him. But I remember that being a particularly cathartic game for the team, because I think it might have been the game before the All-Star break.
Yep.
And it just seemed like, I mean, that whole week was just really somber, and Kevin Durant was an emotional guy that week, and Anthony Morrow really stepped up and took a role of being kind of the spokesman during that time. And that game, it was interesting to see the guys having fun on the sidelines again during that game and going into the break. But Monty Williams is a guy that's certainly going to be missed around here, not just by the team, but by the fans as well, just for the impact that he had and his family and how involved they were in the community.
He had an impact on so many people. And Alvin Gentry, who, you know, Alvin and I had a really good working relationship, and we didn't talk about this to the extent that, you know, I don't want to project, but I think it was really hard for him. He the first night, basically couldn't talk. He came out and said a couple of things, and then he called off his post-game press conference. He just couldn't really address it. And I think it's hard because he had a great deal of respect for Monty. He liked him a lot. And you have his old job. And I think that was really hard for him. I think it was just hard to be in that position because it's through no fault of his. There's nothing, you know, that wasn't anything that Alvin Gentry did. But I think it was tough for him just to be in the seat Monty used to sit in and kind of experience going through that and know what Monty was going through. I think it was really, really challenging. It was tough for the Pelicans as an organization, as I'm sure it was for the Thunder. And I think it really hit Alvin pretty hard.
If you haven't already, you can follow Brett on Twitter at B Dawson Writes. Is that right,
yep,
Brett?
WRITES, yep.
At B Dawson Writes on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter if you haven't already. Shall we talk some Thunder basketball now?
We'll talk a little bit of Thunder basketball.
Media Day is tomorrow. We're sitting here on Thursday afternoon. Friday is Media Day, and then they get practices underway on Saturday. Guys, let's just talk a little bit about what we can expect from Media Day this year.
I think some Kevin Durant questions that might be something that comes up.
Eric, you've talked to most of these guys at these community appearances. Have you asked them all, or for the most part, the majority of them, about Kevin Durant already?
Some of them.
The main guys, huh?
Yeah, Steven Adams. I think Steven Adams and Andre Robertson, I've talked to them about it. Some of these guys are relatively new. I mean, Cameron Payne, I talked to him about it and just how he talked to Durant, and Durant was actually helpful with his foot surgery over the summer. But it was a funny moment after I talked to Steven Adams at Heritage Hall when they did that whole football deal with him and Robertson, and they put on pads and were acting silly. After I finished asking Adams about it, he kind of looked at me and he was like, bro, are you going to be asking these Kevin Durant questions all year? Like, is it going to be like this all? I was like, look, man, like, it's going to happen. Like, you better, like, brace yourself for this stuff because you're going to get it all the time. And it's like, it might not necessarily be me because we're going to have, you know, more pertinent things to focus on in terms of you guys having new players and how y'all are playing. But, I mean, you're playing these guys four times. Like, they're going to be the story. So, I mean, when y'all are down and they're up, people are going to bring up, like, oh, Kevin Durant, we need more shooting. And it's going to be a recurring thing. So I think it's going to kind of take some of these guys aback by how much we end up talking about Kevin Durant, not necessarily myself, but, you know, the national media, that's going to be a recurring theme. Man.
And I think Brett brings up a pretty solid point that, I mean, Media Day is going to be filled with a bunch of people who haven't seen these guys. So even though Eric has asked that question to some of these guys, a lot of the people who are going to be there tomorrow have not. So if Thunder fans are expecting to not hear about Kevin Durant, you can change your expectations because some of these people are going to ask about Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Not that we would ask a bunch of Kevin Durant questions, but Media Days are parachute events. People parachute in who haven't been covering the team and maybe won't be at practice every day, and this is when they'll get their sound bites and that sort of stuff, and that question is going to come up.
Eric, what do you think we can expect tomorrow?
Oh, you know, I think you're going to have casual Steven Adams, as always. I think it's going to be interesting to see what we get out of Westbrook. If he takes on a little bit more mature role with the media, not to say that he's been bad to us. I think he's consistent across the board when it comes to local and national media and how he treats us. But it'll be interesting to see the kind of response we get from him. And it'll also be interesting to see how players respond to questions about some of the recent protests. I think there's going to be a lot of that tomorrow. We got a lot of outspoken guys on the Thunder in terms of their social media.
I wish Deion Waiters was still here.
Ooh, man, that would be hot fire. But Deion might pop off in Miami. But Deion's always he's always been a good dude to talk to as well. And but you know, Anthony Morrow, Nick Collison, Enes Kanter, the entire Enes Kanter summer situation in general will be fascinating to see how far he dives into that. And what more information we can glean from that situation that he had with his parents, but you know, there's plenty of things to think about going into tomorrow.
You know what I'm thankful for your guys' sake? The Thunder no longer has those random training camp guys coming in. So like Daniel Hamilton, maybe I guess he'll sit down. But I mean, he actually was a good player in college, and he played at UConn. People kind of know who he is. They used to have guys that came in here and no one knew who they were.
It was so awkward.
And they'd sit them down at that podium and it's like, what are we supposed to ask these guys? So thankfully for you guys, you won't have to experience that tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird, and that was really awkward last year. And I did like Oklahoma City Blue Media Day, and that was less awkward because you had like maybe like three of us in a room, and it was just like, okay, at least it's not like a full room of awkwardness. It's just like three of us, and these guys kind of know and expect that it's going to be awkward. But then at Thunder Media Day, you're patrolling this guy out in front of all these cameras and stuff, and it's just like, all right, I'm not going to be playing here in 3 weeks.
And it's like sad because some of those guys are all of these guys are really, really good players, and some of them have really good stories, but no one knows what they are.
That's like last year the Pelicans signed so many guys to 10-day contracts. We all joke we should just have a questionnaire. Like, oh, when did you find out? How did you get here? Where were you yesterday? You know, like, it's just all the same stories all the time.
You basically had pre-written questions that you could ask all of them. I get it. What else about the start of media day and the start of preseason training camp?
Well, of all the guys that this summer in the past couple of weeks that have done community appearances and I've gotten to meet, I haven't gotten to meet Ilyasova, who I've heard is a pretty personable dude, and haven't met Alex Abrines. And Alex Abrines is a guy that people have a lot of questions about.
You're saying Abrines. Is it Abrines or Abrines?
You know what? Let's figure that out tomorrow.
Let's ask him. You're right. Let's ask him.
How do you want us to say your name, Alex? You can just
people
call
still
me
mess
Alex.
Up Andre Robertson.
Robertson. Yes. Robertson.
People still say Roberson.
Yeah, which is.
No one knows.
That's like nails on a chalkboard to me now, Roberson. I'm just like, oh, God, don't do that. But, yeah, Alex Abrines, that's a guy people are going to – we're going to need to see what he can bring, you know? I mean, I think we're under the impression that he's not going to play very much, but he can shoot, and this team doesn't have any shooters really. So that's definitely going to be something to watch, and Ilyasova for that matter too. Is he going to start? Is he going to be a guy that can come in and pick up the system pretty quickly? But from everything I've heard and read, he's a guy who does pick up stuff pretty well, and – he's a veteran, and he's worked with Adrian Griffin before, the new assistant, and they're going to have a rapport. So I think Ilyasova is going to be a pretty important piece at power forward.
Barry Trammell mentioned something on the Thunder Thursday hangout that we just completed, and I wanted to kind of go into that a little bit more, and that's the idea of Billy Donovan potentially switching his starting lineup, maybe not from night to night, but occasionally. What do you think of that idea? Do you think that that's something that we could see Billy Donovan do, and do you think that could be effective?
Yeah, and I think it's a fascinating experiment, particularly with a guy like Kyle Singler. He was a guy who had some of his better success in his career as a starter. And if you've got a gap at small forward, what do you have to lose starting Kyle Singler a few games here and there?
A lot.
A lot?
You could lose a lot. If he plays like he played last year, yes, you could lose a lot.
Well, look. If you play him any, you're going to lose. You might end up losing anyway if you play him. So why not start him, see if he can get his rhythm going a little bit, and then if he snakes, pull him out.
Eric, okay. Now, look, this is the perfect form.
You have to start him game one.
This is the perfect form for your Kyle Singler sudden infatuation. Just how did this start? Like, you went out and talked to him at one of these community things.
It was before that. It was before that. Okay.
Now you're all over him.
All right. And first of all, it's not an infatuation.
I was going to say it's funny that you didn't shoot that down first. Right. You weren't first, like it's not an infatuation.
That's the first infatuation.
This is a rationalization because one, I watched Billy Donovan play this guy more than he should have last year. He's going to play. He's 6'9" and he can guard better than Anthony Morrow. Now, can he shoot better than Anthony Morrow? No. But Billy's going to be looking for that length on the perimeter to defend. Kyle Singler has to play. You going to play Josh Huestis before him?
No.
All right.
I like Josh Huestis, but no.
You have a dearth of options at the small forward spot.
So you think it's just a matter of the lack of options?
Yes.
It has more to do with that than Kyle Singler.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
And if it comes down to the lack of options and maximizing what you can get out of a guy, you need to figure out how you can do so. Andre Robertson got marginalized in the playoffs last year. Rather than Billy Donovan just let him stand in the corner and nobody guard him, he said, Andre, come be a part of the offense. Don't stand over there. Let's move you around. So, Billy, what are you going to do with Kyle Singler if he's one of your only options at small forward and the Thunder's not trading for a small forward yet?
Yeah, but a part of me thinks that you kind of are all in on Kyle Singler.
I'm not all in.
Just own it.
Okay, look. I'm 30.9% in on Kyle Singler.
30.9%?
That was his 3-point percentage last year.
Well, all right.
I do like him.
You've been talking about him a lot over the last month, and I'm trying to figure out what this is all about. You've sort of answered it, and who knows? He might actually play. He might start. We don't know, and he might play well.
I don't think he should be the starter on day one. I think Andre Robertson is your starter at small forward. But as you were saying, as Barry said, you could see some different starting lineups. Why not throw Kyle Singler out there a game or two and see what you can get?
You should just jump into this so that if he's good, you can say, like,
I told you, 30.9. Yeah, like.
Here's a question. What's a good year for Kyle Singler? Like, give me his numbers. Points, rebounds, assists, field goal percentage, and three-point percentage.
If he's a 37% three-point shooter for his career, get back to 35. You know, I think Anthony Morrow was like a 38 last year. Waiters was around 34, 35. And Waiters ended up being one of their better three-point shooters toward the end of the year and in the playoffs. Just hit some corner threes, man. Hit 35% from three.
35% from three. Field goal percentage?
44.
Okay, and then points, rebounds, assists. What's a good year? What's a stat line that's going to make Eric Horn say Kyle Singler wasn't bad this year? He was good.
Oh man,
he did his job.
That's
tough because you got to think about minutes and you got to think. It's a lot of stuff to figure out. What's a good
off the top of my head? I don't know.
Can we figure he's going to play about 15 minutes a game?
Let's score 5.7. You know, just a hair under two threes a game.
5.7 points. Rebounds?
Rebounds, 3.
More to be had this year.
There are more to be had, but Victor Oladipo is going to have some of those too.
Yeah.
3.
So 5.7.
And get your assist rate up, Kyle.
3 rebounds.
His assist rate was very poor last year.
The ball's going to move this year, we think, a lot more.
More importantly than that, how about you not foul so much, okay? That's what got him in trouble last year.
Yes,
this dude was fouling at an astronomical rate.
Machine.
As soon as he got on the floor, people were like, oh, I'm going at that sucker. Yep. Like, just going at him. Oh, man, that was bad. I think the Pelicans game in particular, I remember they put him in and they just started attacking him. I was like, golly. That was in New Orleans. That was one of the Thunder's worst games of the season.
Truly bad losses.
Yeah, that was coming off the back-to-back, Dallas-New Orleans back-to-back. That was a bad one. My parents were in the stands too. I was like pointing to them. I was like, "Hey guys," and they were like,
"You just pointed up. You couldn't get them better seats than what?
I didn't get them seats. They just showed up.
Oh, okay.
They were like, "We want to see my baby Wright."
Did they sit in the rafters?
Yeah, they were up in the nosebleeds.
Come on, Eric. You got to do better than that. These your parents for crying out loud.
I didn't know how to pull any strings, man. It was my first year on the beat.
Rookie mistake.
They could have moved down. They could have got on the court. Some kid did.
Yeah,
hug Carmelo Anthony.
Brett, your mother is in Louisville.
Yes.
Okay,
so she's probably in the air right now as we speak, flying back to Louisville.
You think she's going to come out here to catch a game or two or three?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Okay.
Maybe. My parents will come out here at some point.
What's the closest NBA city to Louisville?
Indianapolis.
Okay.
But there are no Pacer fans in Louisville. Everybody in Louisville is a Lakers fan, Celtics fan, Heat.
Kentucky's your pro basketball.
Golden State now.
Yeah, exactly. You got enough basketball.
31st team right up the road in Lexington, the 31st team in the NBA. But yeah, mostly it's all, you know, the whoever's trendy.
How much is Calipari paying those guys? don't ask.
He just laughs.
I'm just messing with you.
Look over there. What's going on over in that corner?
Anyway, the point is if your mom goes to Indianapolis and you take that trip, Don't make her sit in the
get
nose
her good
bleeds.
Seats.
Okay. Don't make her sit in the
All right,
bleeds.
I'll see what I can do. All my right. dad might come up too. They might sit. They might go to a game. They might come up to Indiana.
Yeah, you got to get them here. They got to experience the peak.
Yeah. Well, they'll come back. Yeah. They like to visit. They're a little sad that I'm leaving New Orleans.
Are they NBA fans?
No, not at all.
So maybe they'll become Thunder fans now.
Maybe.
Did they care about the Pelicans at all
opening.
When you covered them?
I mean, I think they would, you know, keep up to the extent that they read some of the stuff. They were like, they get hurt a lot. They seem to get hurt a whole lot. That was the takeaway from the Pelicans. We've been there.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, Darnell, in the Thunder Thursday.
Thursday.
It's hard for me to say already.
We like alliteration around here.
When you talked about, and this is something, when you were talking about Billy Donovan and lineups and that kind of stuff, one of the things I'm kind of interested in is, you know, Billy had a long career at Florida, and over the course of that, he coached really, really different teams. And so we've seen one window of Billy Donovan here. It's 1 year with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and now he's got something totally different. And I'm interested to see just how much they change and what kind of things he does and how he coaches differently, because he's obviously an adaptable guy. Is he an adaptable guy at this level?
I would say, just from the first season sample size, he is an adaptable guy. I mean, we saw in the playoffs how he took guys who didn't quite fit, like Robertson and Kanter, when they struggled, and it made them effective in spurts, you know. So I do think that Billy's one of those guys, and I think that's one of why the Thunder picked him up. I think Presti has talked about just Billy's flexibility and his ability to take guys and maximize their strengths and whatnot, and, you know, all the Presti jargon. I'm not going to get into all that, guys, but
physicality,
athleticism,
competitive spirit.
Wow, I hope you're listening, Sam. I wrote a good story about Sam a couple weeks ago. He can let me off the hook on this one.
Is he listening?
I hope he is.
Sam Presti does not listen to the Thunder Buddies podcast.
No. He's probably playing music at this very moment. He might be listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast with some really good headphones, because he probably has really good headphones. Anyway, Brett, do you have any final thoughts on your first podcast?
It was exciting. I like this very professional studio. I like this. I got a nice window out onto the street. I get to see downtown Oklahoma City. It's great. Love it.
Okay.
I'm anxious to do more.
We're anxious to have you on more. Now, for all of you all who are going to get on the Twitter sphere and bang on us about, you know, not changing out the face of Anthony Slater for Brett and all that stuff, we're working on that. We got that. We're thinking about these things, y'all. Just be patient with us. The season's about to start. We got bigger fish to fry, but we're going to get Brett's name on there and his face, and he will be reporting from Thunder Media Day tomorrow and be at practice on Saturday, and we're going to get this thing rolling. So, Brett, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to get started.
Darnell, as always, thanks for
being
the sage guy that you are.
Sage
and wise and whatnot.
Thanks. I appreciate the compliment.
Sage NBA fella. All right. We will see y'all later.
Pull up jumper off the rim and in. Oh! And the Thunder win!
Boy, come on, let's sing the Thunder song.
Wait.
When you hear the sound of thunder, don't you get too scared. Just grab your Thunder buddy and say these magic words.